gotta talk to my eyeball guy. You know, we all got our eyeball guy.
Right. Hey, let's go find Nathan Jones here. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. I'm Aaron Flores.
And I'm Lisa Nims, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains in transit, and simpler living. And today, the end of bike fun.
The end of bike fun. It's all over. Pedalpalooza is over. No more bike fun.
Today, fighting words.
That's right. Today in the studio, we have Nathan Jones of Ride Your Bike, but also of Afterpalooza, and we'll be talking about that. But first, Lisa, I wanted to ask you about your leg. How's it doing?
My leg is good. Thanks for asking.
You want to tell everyone what happened?
Sure. Summer is a funny time to be a lady on a bike. A lady.
Lady, L-A-D-I-E.
Yeah. The other night I, you know, got dressed up to go to a friend's going away party and I thought I looked really nice, and then I put a helmet on and got on a bike and went to get some beer at New Seasons, and some guy came up to me. I thought, you know, it was something, and he said...
Did you initially think he was, like, creeping on you?
No, I thought he was just coming to talk to me, like, in a totally... I was fine with it. And he came up, and he was like, "Are you okay?" And I had no idea what he was talking about. And then I looked down and my leg was bleeding, like, into my shoe. So, yeah.
And this was, like, right before this wedding.
It was just a friend's party. Yeah, party. Yeah, yeah. No, I ended up, like, I was really embarrassed and I bought my beer and left. And I showed up at the party with, like, dried blood all over my leg.
Yeah.
And had to, yeah, because at that point I was like, well, now I just feel
cool. Committed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks for asking.
And you figured out what... how this is?
Yeah, something happened to my pedal, and it's, like, really jagged and has been cutting me regularly.
These are pretty substantial, too. Like,
I know, I just haven't noticed at all. I haven't noticed until I've been like, oh, I'm bleeding. Yeah, until then. So, I don't know.
Wow.
It's kind of embarrassing, but...
Hey, how's the drinks, by the way? Nathan, Lisa.
The stout is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yep.
That is an Imperial Stout by the good people at Barley Browns, provided to us by the good people at Beer Mongers. The Beer Mongers.
How's your soda?
This soda is terrible.
Because it's not from Beer Mongers.
Well, it's a rogue soda that I got at Beer Mongers, but yeah. I imagine, yeah, if they were to do like a ginger beer or a root beer on tap,
that would be
pretty delicious.
Yeah.
But I also realized, like, that would take away one of their taps that they could use for beers, which would sell a lot more.
Uh-huh.
There's these, yeah. Oh, whoops, there goes our closing thing. Every time. Yeah, there's these cucumber sodas in their fridge.
That sounds good.
And it sounds like a decent concept.
No.
Rogue did not do this correctly, I think. Just, what did you say? Like, you could smell it
from
there.
Yeah, when you cracked it open, it smelled like we were in a Bath and Body Works.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty bad. So,
is
it super sweet?
It's not that sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty dry for a soda, which isn't bad. Now I'm about to contradict what I just said. It's pretty refreshing.
Okay.
Albeit, yeah, dry for a soda.
Mm-hmm.
The cucumber is more of an aftertaste,
mm-hmm.
which is very much a turnoff for me. It's like, oh, this isn't bad. Oh, fuck.
Could at least have a pickle aftertaste.
There you go. Know? Yeah. Yeah. Someone got a pickle juice soda out there? I would totally take that. So, Nathan Jones, yep. You're in. You're,
yep, I'm here.
You're here.
You have been after Palooza.
It's after Palooza. Well, you've been pretty active in the Pedal Palooza as well, though.
I mean, not really. Just the Thursday night rides is really all I did.
Yeah.
But then just hyping all the other rides.
I saw you had a few other
showing
rides.
Up at the, well, yeah, showing up at the other ones.
Yeah.
Riding tons of wheelies.
Yeah, got quite a kick out of you doing wheelies at the Bowie Prince ride.
That was a fun one, yeah.
Yeah.
I think my favorite was the Run DMC versus Beastie Boys ride.
I bet.
That had just the most widest roads and good jams. And
you think their route was better?
I think it was better, yeah. The David Bowie ride just didn't seem to go like too short of a route, I think. And
really?
I don't know. Whatever. It was still a great ride. But I had to leave early, so I didn't get to see all of it. So what do I know?
I appreciated the end point being a warehouse that I assume the ride leaders had rented out.
Oh,
so
right.
That was cool.
Yep.
You know, so that we're all like in a space and we're not trespassing, so to speak. And I appreciated that there was like a number of stops. However, I thought the stops were kind of long.
Mm, right. Yeah.
That would be like maybe my critique of it.
Yeah,
I had
think
a lot
that's
of fun.
What happened.
That was maybe my second favorite ride. I did the Solstice ride, and that by far is my favorite. Mm. But Bowie Prince, and not just because I got to make out with Prince as David Bowie, which that's hot as shit.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. I kind of like the big rides. Yeah, like the 200 plus people rides. They're a little nerve wracking at times, but it's kind of fun to like be on the back end. Like, well, you were at Bike Prom, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I was on the back end of Bike Prom at one point when we got on Division, and we're going down the hill of Division and just seeing like all the bike lights. You know, all the rear lights from there.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's, I don't know. Yeah, it's fun to just get into the rides and just let loose, because I've just led so many in the past like 3 months. It's like 30 rides I've led or something, and then
yeah.
So finally, like, which ride was the day? Yeah, it was the Bowie. Yeah, the Bowie ride, and the naked bike ride. Really, I think I rode like 15 miles probably, just like I would ride down.
Were you on a wheelie the whole time?
yeah I would ride like all the way down a street and then turn around and ride with like the oncoming lanes,
yeah.
until it just got to like there's too much bikes coming in the oncoming lanes too, and then turn back around, ride back to the front. It's just I'm exhausted from it.
I bet it's tough in those big rides, because I mean, part of me, there's the like safety law abiding citizen part of me that is like, you know, yes, we're allowed the lane, but stay in the lane, stay, you know, we're not allowed to like just be scofflaws just because there's so many of us.
Scofflaws.
But in the meantime, there's so many of us, like we can't just sometimes just take up the two lanes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was, I think the running the naked bike ride down Division, like one lane of it was just like the, I don't know why it ended up going that way, but it's just like, couldn't we just shut down both lanes?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it wasn't, it's just like a problem with permitting, or if just not enough like forethought on the organizational side of it. But
that's interesting that they took Division.
It's just like one lane of Division for 10,000 bikes. Like, of course it's going to bleed over,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. But
and so I, that's the ride that I've not been on and probably will never be on. But generally the police have been pretty cooperative with that one.
It's all like, I think it's like, it just, I don't know if it's permitted or what, but yeah, the police, it's all, they're all dialed in on it. Like there's nice. no sort of, I don't think any officers want to tackle a naked person. You know?
Like, right. It's like, I'm always curious about how like the paramedics end up dealing with folks who are injured. Someone was telling me a story
the
other day.
It's bound to happen, right? 10,000
right,
people.
Right. Someone was telling me a story about a girl that was going down on a skateboard, and she just like biffed it and flew forward and was torn up. And
oh, no.
the paramedics were just like super uncomfortable in like supporting her. And yeah, he said it was quite a scene. So
really?
Yeah.
That's odd. I mean, you'd think, I mean, I think it's just like flesh is flesh.
Yeah.
Well, especially like, oh no, there's boobs. I missed the blood.
That does kind of surprise me because right. like, yeah, I would think like paramedics would see their fair share of boobs and other things as well. Yeah.
Maybe one of them was exceptionally put off and just put,
put off the rest. Like it set them by.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and you probably know if you're, you know, set to work that area yeah. and that night, right. like, brace yourself. Right. There's yeah. going to be
gonna see some nakedness.
You're going to see some nakedness. You're going to see some interesting. Yeah.
Pins, or Lisa, I should say. Did yes. you go on any rides this year?
I didn't. I know. Oh,
that's why
gosh.
There's Afterpalooza.
Okay. Yeah, this is like the exact conversation we had last year.
I know.
I can tell you my multiple reasons why I don't go on these rides. And last year, that was like my goal was that this year I'd actually do
this
it.
Year, well, yeah, so we have Afterpalooza, which do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, Afterpalooza is just kind of a catch-all phrase. It doesn't really exist, but...
It's not... Okay. Yeah. It's not going to be like the festival of yeah. Pedalpalooza.
At this point, yeah. I mean, I tried to kind of rally people to be kind of like, well, maybe we should just take over some weekends. And then I was just like, well, screw it. I'm going to make a week of bike rides. Like the week after Pedalpalooza. Because right. there's... People still want to ride every day. And... But then, yeah, I think there's stuff springing up for all of July, and lots of other people are being motivated to make rides, and
that's cool.
I don't know. The Thursday night ride is just like is all the Afterpalooza is for me. I'm just gonna hype that endlessly, just because.
Well, and that's been going even before Pedalpalooza,
right? Yeah. So I've been doing that for like 3 months now, and it kind of grew out of like these spontaneous bike rides I was doing. I just like pick a nice day on the radar, you know, like 3 days out and be like, all right, we're going to ride. And then, someone I met, used to live in Guadalajara. She's like, well, we do these rides down there every Wednesday from like 10 till 1 in the morning. And they have like 500 people to like 10,000 people. And it's like every Damn. Single week they do that. I'm just like, why can't we do something similar to that here?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of like the whole, that's why it's just like, all I do is hype Thursday night ride. Cause that's kind of the inspiration for it. I'm just like, I want to build that into something that's like, maybe not 10,000 people every week, but you know, it'd be sure. nice to get 200, 300.
What has been the most so far?
I mean, the most has been like 100 aside from the kickoff ride, which doesn't oh, really course. Count, but. When I found the kickoff ride was on a Thursday, I was like, yes, this is perfect recruitment tool. So,
and there's been a lot of regulars, like Daniel Harkins of Team Sincerity has been on just about every one of them. Aaron Delaney has been on a lot of them as well.
Yeah, yeah, there's too many good people coming to the rides. It's a diverse crew, and... it's pretty cool just watching it grow like organically, like having this kind of like big long-term vision for it, but totally unsure like how we're actually going to get there with it. And
is it the same route every night?
No, it changes every week pretty much. Like some weeks we'll kind of get in a groove of going the same route just because one flows so well, and then people will get bored of it and they'll try and change it to some other route and then try and tweak it and improve it a little bit more. But yeah, I've got one that I'm trying to do middle of September, September 10th. I'm just calling it Bikes in the Street, and it's kind of this general, completely non-politicized, like mass bike event.
Nice.
It's kind of the angle I'm trying for. Okay. It's, I don't know. I got really frustrated after the City Hall demonstration with how like few people there were. There was like
oh really
60, 70 people there, which is okay. good for 8 in the morning. On a Tuesday
well, yeah.
or something.
So I was working, but all the press that I've read like speaks so positively of it. It's really surprising.
Yeah, and but, I mean the tone of the demonstration was great, and the word there was no real problem with any of it. I just think the amount of people there was just the real. I don't know. I guess
We like, can't if you want to show that there's a need, you need the people out there to show that there's a need.
So.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, yeah, I don't know. I started talking to people, and I'm just like, well, what can we do to get people in front of City Hall or City Council or whatever? And it's like, we could meet on a Friday, like, when they get out. And it's like, you're still only going to get like 200 or 300 people. I don't know. Maybe you could hype it and get like 500 or something. And then I realize it's just like, we have to just find when City Council is out somewhere and then schedule a non-political bike event and just get all the bikes. And then we have to just run them by City Council.
Right. So it's, there you go.
So the bridge lighting, the Tilikum bridge lighting's on September 10th. So it's like,
oh, perfect.
And they're all going to be down there watching the bridge light, or some of them are guaranteed.
Sure.
I don't even know if they're going to be, somebody's going to be there. And if not, then whatever, it's a big bike ride.
Well, you know, there's got to be notable people out there, at least for the photo op.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's like my big scheme I have going on with the Thursday night rides. It's just like a non-political way to trick people through engaging the powers that be with bikes, you know, like.
Well, and I mean, I don't know, like, safety infrastructure. Yes, it's a political thing, but honestly, safety should be like across the board. You know, I don't care. I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, or whatever, like. You should want like your fellow humans to be safe. But anyways, that's about as far as on the political soapbox as I'll get.
Exactly. That's high enough to step up. That's a good reasonable spot.
Yeah. Well, and so you are about to leave for a ride soon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Another weekly ride. Today is the After Palooza waterfront recovery ride. That's it. It's right. A recovery ride. So we're gonna see.
I was even thinking of doing this. Like, Monday's usually my day off.
Right.
And it is. But I was thinking of organizing a hangover, Pedal Palooza hangover ride. When this came up, I was like, damn, you beat me to the punch.
Right. Got to be aggressive on. There's a whole rest of the summer though. You just got to come up with
that's
your
pretty
little.
Awesome.
I don't know. We should try and materialize Afterpalooza into something tangible that's just like encourages, like, fringe rides, big rides, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So your goal for Afterpalooza is, you know, just getting more bikes out there, making sure like. That bike fund continues, that it's not just this.
It's insane how condensed it is into 3 weeks. Like, why didn't it go 4 weeks? You know, like, why couldn't we have just drawn this out a little bit? More people could have gotten their fringe rides to have more people on them, and then maybe the bigger rides wouldn't have been so big, but oh well, more week of bike partying. Like, I don't know. It's just, and then it's crazy. All the ride leaders just kind of disappear or whatever, and
everyone goes back to work.
I'm sure everybody has their lives and stuff, but, you know, just one ride here, one little extra one, you know.
Sure.
They just need, like, a target to hit or something. So just, finding that target. July, August, September, this weather, it's just going to keep going. I think it's really, really good for bike mobilization.
I mean, the chances of getting rained on are pretty low. And that's usually the thing here in Portland that keeps people from getting on their bike.
That's weird. That's what puts me on a bike. I hate biking in this weather. I'm so grumpy.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's your thing. You and the puddle cycle people should get together.
Perfect. I found my niche. Rain ride. So if somebody wants to get connected with your Thursday night rides, how do we do that?
Let's see. It's posted on the Shift calendar. It's posted on my shop website, rideyourbike.com, rideyourbike.com. And then, all over Facebook, of course, but,
And there was an article, on the Bike Portland site about how Facebook was more utilized this year.
Right.
And probably brought out the numbers a lot more than it has been. I will say, I do not have Facebook, and I've not used Facebook as a thing. I've almost exclusively depended on the Shift calendar.
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just an easy tool to mobilize on.
Sure.
Running a business, it's just kind of like filtering people into a funnel. it sounds kind of hollow, but it's like, whatever. I'm just mobilize people to ride bikes, and maybe some of them will come pay me to fix their bike or there build them a bike or something like that.
I don't know. You don't have to answer this on the air, but has it been beneficial to the shop?
Yeah, I mean, I fix tons of bikes. I don't make a lot of money, but I have more fun than I can possibly imagine right most of the time. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely been beneficial to the shop. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, one last question before we go. DRTs in October. Is there going to be a team fat bike for the disaster relief trials?
I don't see why not.
All right.
Hold me to it. Yeah,
what
October.
Do I got to do to try out?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
You heard it here.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we'll get you to your
Dan's
ride.
Been trying to get me to do it for a while.
Has he really?
He tried to get me to do it last year, like the day before. I'm like,
Well, I can't remember. I know on the bike that I rode that I rented from you, it didn't have any racks on it.
Oh, yeah. You can put them on there. Yep.
There are
yep.
racks. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're great so there for you hauling go. Crap. No, there they're you great. Go. You can't. Yeah. They ride so good loaded. Like, you can load them up to 100 pounds, and it's just like, oh, it's like it was designed for all of this. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Nice. Instead of having to lift your bike over an obstacle, you can just roll right over.
Right, no, just it. Yeah, just barrel right through it like the Kool-Aid man.
All right, that's it. This year's disaster relief trial. I want to see Kool-Aid. You barrel through wall, an obstacle and be like, oh, yeah. All right, well, thanks for coming in.
Yep.
Sorry I had to be so short.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me on late.
Sure enough, Well, yeah, rideyourbike.com, rideyrbike.com.
Thanks, y'all.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast as we can into the night light. Pedal just
Oh, me. from BBC World News via bikeportland.org. Nepal's national mountain bike team turned rescuers. On the day a 7.8 magnitude earthquake hit Nepal in April, the nation's top mountain bikers were out preparing for the national championships. They soon found themselves thrown into the emergency rescue effort, pulling victims alive out of the rubble. In the aftermath of the disaster, which killed more than 7,500 people and injured more than 14,500, the cyclists found their riding skills invaluable. Members of the national mountain biking team soon realized that they were in a unique position. They could ride to remote mountain communities that vehicles could not reach and use their knowledge of mountain trails to deliver aid and gather information about the scale of the damage. They set up Nepal's cyclists Road to Rescue, NCRR, comprised of members of the National Mountain Biking Team and Himalayan Single Track, a Nepalese biking tour operator. NCRR says that in Shikhar Basi, about 95% of buildings have been destroyed. 80% of the area is inaccessible by car.
Inaccessible by car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a really big story.
It's pretty awesome, though, like how bikes are being mobilized like that. It's something,
yeah.
You know, we mentioned the DRTs, the disaster relief
totally.
Trials. Like, that's something that they have been talking about, and here it is actually happening.
Right.
And I often wonder, like, with the DRTs, they're really fun, and it's great that it's showing how bikes really are mm-hmm. useful. But I often wonder, like, you know, when the big one does hit, like, how practical bikes would be, and then here's this
yeah,
story that
like
shows.
A very concrete example of how they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does, I mean, that story alone makes me think about like, yeah, we should be investing in this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, even like, you know, how some cities, like snow cities, have, you know, just a fleet of snowplows that really are only used a few months out of the year, but they're invaluable for those few months. Like, what would it look like to have like a fleet of emergency bikes?
Yeah.
You
and
know,
people who
for
are
that time that you might
good
need
at riding
it.
Them and yeah, I mean, shoot, out at the coast, like that would be because
they'll be buried in mud and and water.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole line where it's just like everything, you know, west is going to be basically demolished.
Right.
And talked a lot about roadways and well. This is a dark conversation.
We really did turn like a dark corner.
I got dark. Oh my God. And now
and some good news from bikeportland.org. Scenic bikeways now available on the coast in Southern Oregon. Last week, the Oregon State Parks Commission unanimously approved two new scenic bikeways, the Wild Rivers Coast and the Cascade Siskiyou routes. The new routes are the first time the bikeway program has included the coast and Southern Oregon region. The Wild Rivers Coast Scenic Bikeway is a 61-mile route based out of Port Oxford. It heads southeast along the curvaceous Elk River and then up to Cape Blanco State Park, the westernmost point in the entire state. The Cascade Siskiyou Scenic Route or Scenic Bikeway begins with the Southern Oregon city of Ashland. The 55-mile loop heads east and takes you around Emigrant and Howard Prairie Lakes. There's even a nice bikepacking option if you're ready to sleep overnight. You can learn much more about them and the other 12 scenic bikeways at RideOregonRide.com, which is a resource I'm using because I plan on doing a week's worth of bike touring this October.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Where are you headed?
Well, I might go to the Wild Rivers Coast Scenic Bikeway.
Oh.
I wonder if, let's see, the one begins in Ashland. I was going to say, I wonder if I could connect these two somehow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, the goal is actually with Anna finishing the fat bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then me on my touring bike.
Perfect.
And so the fat bike's going to be generally slower.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll carry most of the load, therefore being generally slower.
Mm-hmm.
just roll around and explore Oregon.
Perfect. That sounds awesome.
And that's our headlines.
Yeah. We got some mail.
You ready for it?
I'm ready.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
This is from Brian Benson of River Signal.
Oh, you get the long one. Sorry.
That's okay.
This doesn't have any French in it, though.
Yeah, hopefully so no French from Brian Benson. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to let you know that we finally made our podcast a podcast. It's up on iTunes, ready to be instantly downloaded and then not listened to for weeks. If you're into the River Signal or have aspirations of someday being into it, it'd be so great if you could do any of the following. A, subscribe to the podcast. B, review it on iTunes. C, let other people know about it via social media, email, carrier labradoodle. It seems like this thing is starting to pick up steam. We're hearing from lots of musicians, media, and the pleasant 50-something men we end up talking to for half an hour whenever we dock. Seriously, every time. And so we're doing what we can to get more people listening early on in hopes that they'll stick with us when we get lazy and start writing terrible scripts, probably in Arkansas. Any help spreading the word would be much appreciated. Hope you're well. XOXO Brian. P.S. I'm writing this while using my foot to pilot the princess across Lake Pepin. Don't worry, Mom. It's like 300 miles wide.
From Josh Guttmacher in Portland. Remember our great ride, the Team Sincerity Worst President's Day ride, and the beach stop toward the end? Today we went and did the same beach at Lake Vancouver. There were at least 100 baby tree frogs hiding in the wide cracks of the dried-out sand. We also went to the end of the double track. Oh, crap, and I just lost my place. Oh, there we are. A mediocre beach with no shade and a duck blind for the disabled. And then there's a nice little picture of a frog coming out of the crack in the... That's kind of bizarre. Like, I think if I were to see that, I would freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
If he says, if, you know, hundreds of these, like, coming out of the ground.
No, I'm into that. I'm ready. I'm going. Tom P. comments on episode 240B. I purchased the audiobook, and this was great. As a fairly new cycling tourist, I really enjoyed it. All the high points mentioned are things that I have thought about and I had also experienced in my riding adventures.
Have you listened to episode 240B?
I have not.
I haven't either. It's actually one I wasn't in. I should be listening to it.
Yeah,
Next up, Tim Mooney of Pedal Shift comments on episode 243, which both of us were in. I moved from Portland to D.C. in 2001, and I totally agree on the trends in both cities. In less than 5 years, D.C. has gone from an also-ran biking town to a vibrant one that I'd put up amongst the top cities in the country for commuting and community. Some of that is bike share, some of that is social media, and some of it is favorable infrastructure of the district and its pre-existing infrastructure that has shifted from recreational use to commuting thoroughfares.
I'm sorry, you didn't say hashtag bike DC.
Hashtag bike DC. I skipped over the parentheses.
I didn't hear that from you.
Hashtag bike DC. Listeners from DC, hashtag your tweets for hashtag bike DC.
The Professor, episode 240, passes some sage advice to former student Johnny K. Hey, Johnny K., if I remember correctly, I think you got an A in the class. Also, as far as your mouth feeling like you're earning T-shirts, try drinking beer before, during, and after the ride. Hopefully that helps. Cheers.
That's the cure for dry mouth.
Sure,
just keep drinking more beer.
Yeah, just drink more beer.
Matt P. from St. Louis gives us a Twitter shout-out. If you are a fan of bikes, simpler living, and thinking locally with a global perspective, you have to listen to Sprocket Podcast. Mm. Thank you, Matt. And we'll link to your Twitter account if you so choose or would so like us to.
Shoot Film Ride Steel mentions episode 243, Bike Battles. I have a mighty need for a copy of Bike Battles book. The Sprocket Podcast interview makes me think it's going to be awesome.
And what was your... A review of the book?
Mine?
Yeah.
I really like the book.
You liked the book.
Yeah. I like the book. We've talked about the fact that I said nothing during the interview. And then I remember when we stopped recording, you were like, that's okay, Lisa. I remember the first time I was on the Sprocket, too. I was like, hey, watch out, man. But no.
It wasn't your first time.
I know, and that's the thing. As I said later, I think that possibly it had to do with the fact that I was more prepared for the show than I had ever been before.
You were over-prepared.
I was over-prepared. Like, every other...
All your questions were already answered by reading the book.
Right. I don't know. Sometimes it's way better when I come in and I don't know anything about the person who's talking. But this time I was like, kind of intimidated and didn't quite know where to go. So
and now you know what's made me such a great sidekick all these
never
years.
Never being prepared.
Never prepared.
Yeah, I know. I'm sticking to it. I don't know what I was thinking. Reading the book. No, it's a great book, though. It really is.
Well.
All right.
We've reached the end of all things.
We've reached the end. It's my favorite part.
All right. Do you want to read the bold or the non-bold?
I don't care. Don't ask me that.
All right, you get to start.
All right. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast. Wait, hold on a second. That was just too loud.
That was really loud.
Yeah. Let's start that again. Hold on. You know what? I'm just going to sound test this. That's better. All right. And...
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot,
Katrina Mellemgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lien, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister-Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhart, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas,
John Wasserman, and Andre Johnson. Go to bed, brush your teeth.
Open Roads Broadcasting, is that right?